here's the most amazing ingredient to success. To me, it's perseverance. And before, passion. And I would say passion goes after. Okay? So the perseverance is very important, because passion, you can have it easily. Perseverance, you have to work at it. Perseverance is it's really what makes people successful.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. On this week's episode of How Success Happens, we sit down with international beauty icon Frederick Fekkai. For almost three decades, Frederick Fekkai has shaped the international beauty landscape, and he continues to do so today. Frederick Fekkai evolved from a salon owner and stylist with an impressive roster of clients to a luxury lifestyle brand. With the brand taking off, Frederick redesigned his flagship and opened the iconic 10,000 square foot salon on New York's Fifth Avenue. His brand, which sold to Procter & Gamble, was reclaimed by Frederick in recent years. And he is now working to evolve the Fekkai brand with a focus this time on clean ingredients and sustainable practices. Our conversation with Frederick is coming up after the break. Selling your business is a miserable task. Months of negotiation, legal fees, and you get to watch new owners trash the business you built. We started Tiny to become the buyer we wish we could have sold to. Fair, fast, and founder friendly. If you're looking for a new home for your internet business, we'll respond in a day or two, make an offer in 7 days, and close a straightforward deal in about 30 days. Get in touch at tinycapital.com/success. And now, on with the show. We're back. For Fekkai, the beauty industry is about so much more than just providing a service and selling a product. It's about selling an experience. When people go into the salon, and selling a product that instills confidence in the client. When I sat down with Frederick, he made sure to drive these points home.
It's interesting, yes. I'm going to give you a little bit of a quick background. You know, obviously, you can hear from my French accent that I'm from France. And I came here at a young age. But before that, it's a fluke my whole career. You know, I was in law school, so I hated it. And I got lucky to meet an amazing talent in France, one of the most talented hairstylists on the planet. So I started to discover a world that I didn't know. Not only aside from being glamorous in the sense that you were working with models and actresses and going to travel everywhere, the thing that really I cared about is the fact that this was more a business. It was not just about hair. It was so flabbergasting to me to see that people were touched when you make them feel good and look good. And, you know, when you help people to enhance their own beauty, basically, you touch more than just beauty. You touch their personality, their profile, their attitude, their behavior, and their way of life. So it starts with the hair, but you go much deeper than that. I mean, I guess I would think that for the people who are successful, it has to be that. If you're just a hairdresser, then you're a service provider. That's the difference. And that's so the salon has been an amazing platform for me, because it was basically a center, a temple, if you will, where we received our customer and where we really entertained them and celebrate their beauty. And this was the beginning of my career.
And what you just said there, it's very interesting. Funny, strangely enough, as you can tell, I have no hair, but I've had a few people in the hair business or hair product business or salon business. We've had Paul John DeJuria from Paul Mitchell.
Brilliant guy.
And we had Ali Webb from Dry Bar, which I'm sure is... But you know what was very interesting that you said that they both hit on was that you really, from the beginning in this salon, what you just said, you were selling an experience of someone feeling better. And these people that went into your salon and walked out, you weren't selling you know, a new hairstyle or it sounds like you were selling this incredible experience that made them feel better about themselves.
You know, it's interesting you say that. You know, you could even see the behavior of the customer. They would come in with a grim look or even hunch and living with the shoulder back, the face forward and the smile and feeling confident and all this. And I think at the end of the day, this is what matters, is vanity is when you feel confident. And you know, when you feel confident, you enter in a meeting, you win. You go a restaurant, you get a table. You become a winner. And beauty does this to you. If you're vain and if you feel good about yourself and you know that you're going to be out there killing it, it's brilliant. It's more than just a great haircut or a great hair color. It's about the whole attitude.
It changes your whole persona. And you're right. It does. We're all human and it does do something to feel, to look good, to help you feel good. And you've been doing that for years for people. So how did it all start? You were in France and you met this person. And then how do you just decide, hey, I got to get into this business? Like, take me from that point. Where did you go?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, you know, like everything in life, before it clicks and before you enjoy, before you get successful, you have struggle. Okay. So there was at one point I said, this is not for me anymore. I got to do something else, you know, and figure it out. But what really made me stick to it is that I knew this was a big business. And I was not talking about my business for itself, but the industry in general. And I also thought that my industry was lagging behind. Skincare and food, beverage were much more advanced, much more innovative. So I saw a void there. I saw a void. And, you know, and I'll tell you quickly, you know, even in the salon, when I first started my salon, and this is going to date me, but there was no cellular phone. So what did I do? I renovated the salon to make it really sleek, modern, and put a landline at each station. I had actually the first computer in the lounge. People didn't know what to do with it, but you know, it was just there to show that. And also I had people, all my staff trained rigorously every week, Tuesday, and not just about cutting hair or doing hair color. It's about to listen to the customer, to dialogue, to communicate with the consumer, to bring, to enlarge their panorama and also their library. When I say their library, I mean their library here. You know what I mean? How can you go and really expose your customer with ideas and make them feel good and all of this? So I saw this business growing like this. And don't forget, this is 1989. Hair care were a commodity. You only could find hair care in drugstore. And the price were $6.99, $4.99, at best $10.99. Okay? And that was luxurious. And my customer, where people were clients who had a face cream at $300 for 3 ounces, had an Hermes bag or a Rolex watches, whatever, you name it. So luxury good and disposable income. So all the care is to have actually something that would suit them and satisfy them. So this is how I started to create a luxurious haircare before anyone and pioneering that, because I thought, you know what, if they do that with skincare, you know, it's right here. Half an inch higher, it's $6.99 from $300. That doesn't work. So I went to see the lab that were doing skincare as opposed to hair care. And that's how I created a luxurious hair care. And that's how I found my product sitting next to Chanel and Estee Lauder's and Orders, as opposed to be in a drugstore so next to Pantene and Flex and all which
is a great aha moment. Well, you know, when you say that and realize that, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's so funny. People would spend hundreds of dollars on those other products, facial creams, and they take care of their hair. And they, you look at what was out there back in those days, because back in those days I had hair and, you know, I'd get the, you know, the regular shampoos. But take me back first, before you started the products, you had a salon. So first off, what brought you to the US, New York, I assume? And was it to start your own salon? And how did that part of your career begin?
Yes. You know, actually, what I love about my career and my life is that the fact that this was a journey that rolled out with no plan. And that's the beauty of it. because it was organic. It was not planned. It was not a business plan. It was not calculated. It was as it goes. I came to New York thinking that I was going to stay only 1 year. Then I stayed another year and then another year. So, and here I am 40 years later, right here. And the reason I think of my success is the fact that I'm very curious. And coming from France, I wanted to bring what I knew best, which was what we call casual elegance. When I came to the United States and New York, women were utterly groomed, dressed beautifully, or very sportswear. There was no in between. And that's where I said, this doesn't work. I want to give them a look that they can have at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if they decide to not go home from the office, that they still have a look for the evening. So it was what I call the casual chic and the effortless beauty. So it was a real struggle and challenge to do that. But it was amazing to show that customers were at first a little bit panicked, but then so satisfied, so complimentary of it, because it was a look that they could reproduce at home and also that they could feel great with it. So to me, when I did the salon, it was a place where I wanted to have my customer, first of all, have a consultation with us. No, they didn't have to make an appointment for a haircut or color or any services, but to come and talk to us so that we can hear them and give them some idea. So first of all, they needed to understand if they could validate us and if they could trust us. Number one, that's it. You know, you don't go to a brand without knowing if you can trust them. So that was important to me. And then one thing that was also important to me is to make sure that my customer will get the proudness to coming from our salon. And we did that.
So where was your first salon? Where did you open that in New York?
So I was lucky enough to open the salon in the historical building of Bergdorf Goodman on 57 and 57.
So that you got Bergdorf was right off the bat, which not sure many of our listeners and outside of New York, a lot of people in the luxury. I mean, that if you can't, I couldn't imagine a better place to have a salon. But how did they offer that to you right off the bat? I mean, that's an extremely prestigious store. And how were you able to get your salon in there right off the bat?
So it's very interesting. I was a rare combination of a hairstylist that was doing a hair salon and also working in editorial, magazine, and film, and all of this. So because I was one of the busiest, actually, stylists in magazine and all this, in fashion. So I was doing the fashion shows of Calvin Klein, the campaign of Ralph Lauren, and all this. So I made a name for myself in the industry. And of course, after in the commercial, but in the industry first. And because of that, Don Mello, who was back then the president of Bergdorf Goodman, got my name. I was referred by Calvin Klein and Ralph Lauren. So a great introduction, of course.
Yeah, that should do the trick.
Yeah. And so she came to see me and got her haircut and her style with me without telling me who she was. And then 2 hours later, I got a phone call. And that's how my first meeting came. And I went there and I was lucky enough to tell her that I would only do the salon if I was able to transform the hair salon industry, because I did not like, I hated actually hair salons. So I wanted to make sure that this was going to be a different experience for my customer. So that salon had a beauty institute to get facials. It had massage. It had a beauty bar. We were the first one to have a beauty bar to do makeup for client. And of course, waxing, nails. And furthermore, we had a restaurant next door a cafe called Vienna, that where we could service our customer on a silver tray from breakfast to evening. So it was really women's wear daily called the first day spa. And this was a phenomenon. And, you know, all of a sudden, customer felt, my God, either intimidated, oh my God, this is mind-blowing. This is wonderful. And needless to say that this attracted the most amazing clientele. On the same day, sometimes, you know, John Kennedy and Stephanie Seymour and Cindy Crawford and Barbara Walter and Jessica Lange. I mean, you could name it. I mean, this was a business of very famous people. It was great.
So is that when you really started becoming known, obviously with all those celebrity clients and the people you talk about and just mentioned, was that when Frederick Fekkai, the name, started getting out there in terms of New York and around the world when you landed at Bergdorf and launched your business?
So a few things happened. First, I made my name in the industry, which is very, very important, very critical, because that gives you the credibility and the authority. And once you work with the most famous photographer and celebrities and you do the red carpet, your name gets out there. But where a big milestone happened is when in the early 90s, I was called by the White House and to do the hair of the First Lady Hillary Clinton and then President Bill Clinton. And the fact that I was doing the hair, and it was an amazing thing, because at first I was not publishing this. I was not talking about it. And it was discovered by the media. So that made even more of a boom. And that created an amazing, amazing press, amazing name for myself, because it was on the TV, on the news, and so on.
It was early in your career. I mean, you were getting known, but do you, you know, like as a stylist, you're performing. Were there any nerves? Like we're cutting Hillary's hair at the time, and I maybe not as much with Bill, although he's got a nice head of hair. But was there nerves in getting called to the White House?
Obviously intimidating and very impressive. You know, one thing that I learned is that it all depends who you're dealing with. And, you know, I would say that the First Lady Hillary Clinton was absolutely amazing. She says, you know what? I know you're the best. I'll let you do it. Who am I to tell you what to do? I mean, can you believe that? This was amazing. And that's how we changed her bob to the haircut that I gave her, much more layer, shorter, and so on. So it was, and she made me at ease. And also in anything in life, once you know what you do, you're less intimidated and you're less worried. And it goes back again to confidence and feeling good and being good. So once you have that confidence, you're a little bit less nervous.
It sounds like, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you really had success right from the start. But were there times early on, maybe pre just starting, where you had thought, wait, maybe this won't work, maybe the numbers won't work, you wanted to quit? Did that ever come up?
Absolutely. And many times, Robert. Life, it's a ladder. You gotta have to go one at a time. And if you have vertigo, don't look back down. So I think it's important to say that you have to, here's the most amazing ingredient to success. To me, it's perseverance. And before passion. And I would say passion goes after that. Okay? So the perseverance is very important, because passion, you can have it easily. Perseverance, you have to work at it. Perseverance is it's really what makes people successful. I mean, I have a 25-year-old kid. I mean, this is what I'm telling him all the time. You know what I mean? It's perseverance. And that's to me what happened. You know, of course, I made a lot of mistakes. Of course, I failed. Of course, you know, I mean, and by the way, those are a blessing. They are not a blessing if you just ignore it and you repeat them. But if you learn from them, what better school? This is the school of life, the school of an entrepreneur. It's better than a business school. It's real. It's there. You have to think. You have to challenge yourself. You have to accept it, and you have to go forward.
I love that you said that, perseverance, because I've probably interviewed now, doing this show for a couple of years, 100 people, 100 successful entrepreneurs like yourself. Hands down, I will say the number one attribute that they say are characteristic about a person that I have learned in doing all of these interviews is perseverance and picking yourself off the mat. And I guess you could equate that with perseverance, but by far more than the greatest idea, more than, you know, the luckiest breaks, every single interview I recall was about what you just said, perseverance, because we all had setbacks. And I knew when I asked you, there has to be. And I'm sure you, like you did, you overcame them. Was there anyone that specifically you recall? Was there ever a time you were like, well, maybe I'm just going to fold up shop? Was there one that bad?
Yes. In fact, there was even a critical day where I thought I was going to put the key under the door and, you know, and basically go skiing. Here's one thing. there's one other thing important, is to be humble. And when I say humble, not just humble like this, humble in a sense that you have to think that you don't know enough. You have to learn. And this is what I love about this country here, by the way, because this is the only country who invented those books, dummies for this, dummies for that. Dummies, yeah. You know, and you keep learning. You know, you can be 40 years old or whatever. You keep learning. And I think this is important. This is what it is. It's that I always say, you know, the best doctors, the best technician, everyone are the one who are after their diploma, after they don't think, oh my God, that's it, I'm it. It's like, oh my God, how can I go back and take another course? How can I go and learn? And that is the beauty of it, being curious, learning, and trying to never think you know enough.
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors. Ready to take your business to the next level, but need guidance and inspiration to get you there? Entrepreneur Insider can help. Our membership-based program provides insight and advice from industry experts with our exclusive benefits. And what do you get? Well, if you join today, enjoy premium articles, videos, webinars, a weekly newsletter, and an ad-free experience. Plus, get a free one-year subscription to Entrepreneur Magazine. So don't miss out. Become an Entrepreneur Insider for just $5 per month today to start boosting your business knowledge and growing your brand. Visit entrepreneur.com/insider to unlock your access today. And we're back. So going from the salon, obviously, into the product business, I know you kind of gave me the, you saw there was a market for, or an opportunity, but how did that come about? Because there's a lot of people who have ideas and even in the industry, but launching products, I mean, that's a lot of work and knowledge you need. How did that all start? How did it come about? How did you just do it?
It's interesting. It's a course of a few things. At first, in the salon, we were lucky because the salon were basically our lab, our testing ground. And back then, as I said, products were commodity and they were okay, but we found it ourselves, stylists, that we missed a lot of products. We're not doing exactly what we needed. So by mixing and doing cocktails and things like that, I was starting to make my own product. And one day, one of my customers who was in product development says to me, why don't you let me help you and do your online? And we did it like this, again, organically. It was not planned or, oh, I'm not going to just do a hair care line that's going to be global one day. Let's do something that works and that will help us. And we did that. We did 10 SKUs. Great.
Yeah.
And those 10 SKUs started to get a lot of attention. People loved it because they looked like they were coming out of the lab. They were not incredibly polished. They were just plain. And those products started to be successful. And that's how I started to do others. And also, I brought product. I didn't want to do a product that existed somewhere else. I wanted to make sure, back to the curiosity and learning, it was important to me to be out of the box. You know, product that were out of the box. And that created even more buzz and more brand awareness.
And how did you do it? Because sourcing and distributing, and was that, I mean, that business in itself is a major business. How were you able to handle that while you had the salon, while you had all these clients? How were you able to put the time into it?
This is a very good and crucial question, Robert. I think I knew something that really helped me. I knew what I was good at, and I knew what I wasn't good at. And I take pride of the fact that I surround myself with good people, or at least I try. Not always a success, but I try. And I recognize about talents. I recognize the fact that to build a business, you need to have the right actors. So it's like a symphony. You have to have all the musicians, all the players in place. So I did slowly. I built organically a team. And then I got the attention of the big guys. All of a sudden, Chanel came to places and want to invest in a company. And they brought majority and brought a team with them. And then, funny enough, I got able to buy them back out. And then grow the business again. And then another private equity firm came and gone like this. And, you know, and it's interesting because I'm not a business person, but I have a great sense of entrepreneurial. So it's a little bit different. Business, in my opinion, is people who are really number-oriented, and entrepreneurs are more people who are creating business. So creating opportunity, creating ideas.
I love that.
And to me, that's what it is. So I knew this. I knew I was an entrepreneur, not a businessman. And that's how I brought up together a team that helped me build a great business.
So you're doing well. The product's doing well. Chanel comes knocking on the door. I mean, Chanel is not just any brand, right? That's the top, right? So how did that happen? And when they came in, their interest, I assume, what was their general interest? I don't think they were in that space, but they had to see something. But how did that all come about? Was that completely organic?
It's another very good question. Robert, what was different for me and other hairstylists? It was that I created a trend. I created also a fashion buzz. So for instance, our customer came in, we were giving them a total look. We helped them to find the right pair of glasses, the right nail polish. We invited them, we actually guide them to go find the great clothes for them. We gave them a look, an identity, a beautiful, and not just fashionable to be a trend, but more timeless. And by doing that, giving them help with makeup, with everything, Chanel recognized that it was more than just hair. And this is how they came in. And we built together other categories. We had makeup, a skincare, a fragrance, and then accessories, handbags, eyewear. So it was becoming a world of Fekai, if you will, for the world of Frederick Fekai. And that was right in there. Obviously, in their backyard. I mean, they knew how to do that very well.
Is that ever Frederick Fekai? And I asked that, we had Eileen Fisher on the designer. Like, is that kind of sometimes weird? Like, how do you take that? Like, your name is like a brand. Like, I imagine like you throwing your credit card down somewhere and they're like, they have to know, you know, like, is that a weird thing to have?
It's actually very humbling and fun. I just had an experience today earlier. I needed to go get my eye exam and get a new pair of glasses. And the lady looks, are you Frederick Fekai, the hairdresser? Yeah. And, you know, I have to tell you, I have a great fun story about that. Once I was about to miss the plane and somebody saw that it was Frederick Fekai, my name, and they reopened the gate. I don't think it can happen today, but, you know,
Of the security, pre-9/11.
Pre-9/11, exactly. And it was amazing. I mean, it was great. I got that a lot, you know, and I got extra food and extra drinks on the plane and stuff like that. Fun stuff that really makes you feel good, you know, and smile.
Yeah. So tell me, you end up selling the business, and from what I understand, you've really kind of started again. But what I love about what you're doing now, there's a focus on natural products, which 30 years ago, I don't think anyone was, you know, it was very, very early on. So tell me about selling and now the new business and what the focus is on.
Yes, I got fortunate to sell the company in 2008, just before the crash, to Procter & Gamble. And then I got bored, to be honest with you, and I needed to do something. And in 2015, I got the chance with my wife to buy a French brand called Bastide. At the time, it was called Côté Bastide, but Bastide. And what attracted me with this brand, it was the fact that it was artisanal, it was natural product, it was sustainable. And I thought, wow, that's a great thing. So we bought that brand. And then in 2018, 10 years after I sold the company, I got the opportunity to buy Fekai, my namesake brand, back. Wow, how many times you can do that, you know?
How did that come about? How were you able to buy? Did Procter & Gamble still own it? And they
No, that's the news. Procter & Gamble sold it to a distributor of fragrance who didn't know about hair care.
Right.
So they bought this because they bought other fragrance company from P&G. So they ended up with that. And then they realized very soon that this was not their core business. So they called me and asked me if I wanted to partner with them to do this. And I said, what about if I buy you out? So, and that's how we did it. obviously, I brought investors with me and we bought the brand. And, you know, to make, you know, when you have 10 years without running your brand, you need to come back and make a splash, because otherwise your brand is stale. It doesn't have the panache, the lush that it used to have. So I said, I needed to change that. And because I had Bastide already, it was already ingrained in me to have a brand that is relevant today to the millennial, to Gen Z, to us, even us, the baby boomer. It's about a brand that resonates with a new way of life we have. How to make products that are clean, a formula, meaning not non-toxic ingredients. And also, how do you make products that are not going to damage our planet, our beautiful planet? And to do that together, it's such a beautiful accomplishment. You know, it has its challenge. But today, I think that the innovation, we couldn't do that before. You know, we couldn't do that a few years ago. So today, the fact that we have great technology, great innovation, that we can really create product that harmonize to our health, but wonderful with performance, it's spectacular.
How's it been for you going from those early days in the salon and your first product launch where we talked, it's 24/7 hours. You take off several years, and I'm sure you did some stuff, but now you're like back in it. How's that? Like, are you energized? How's that feel? You know, what's that like?
It's interesting because you get excited because of innovation. You get excited about creativity. You get excited about also the team you're with. You know what I mean? And I think it's interesting because ideas, and this is a battle, by the way, it's like, I don't want to do a product or a service just because somebody thought it was a good idea. Okay? So to me, it has to be a need. It has to be a satisfaction. And it has to be a wow. So of course, I'm in awe and love what Steve Jobs did and say. And, you know, he was right. It's like the customer is not waiting for you to ask them what they need. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can you do to give them a great surprise and satisfy them with something they didn't expect? Life is about being surprised and great surprise.
Are you enjoying each day now with the business? And are you, from what I understand, working with your wife as well on the business? And what's that like?
Yeah, I'll come to that in a second. But when you said enjoying the business, I'll be a liar to tell you that it's been a wonderful ride. No, that's not true. But that's part of life. It has been, I would say, 2020 has been very rough, very challenging, and affecting your ability to do business, your mood and all of this. So it has that. But, you know, the rewarding is, again, the perseverance. Once you overcome that, you start to enjoy it. Today, yes, I am enjoying. I'm enjoying very much the company. I think we have together a team that reflects great performance and great success. So that's great. And working with my wife is great because she is reporting to somebody else, so I don't have to deal with her. And she does what she does best. And in fact, she even helps me also on Fekai with social media. She comes from the communication. She comes from the PR world. So, and she loves to help me on bringing the awareness and the sexiness of the brand.
I love that. You mentioned something that I think is really important, especially for our audience, entrepreneurs. Personally, myself, I started a new business during all of this past year. You said it's been so hard, so isolating. How have you been able to overcome that and just kind of continue with the business? Because I know for myself, it has been enormously difficult and tough personally, mentally, and then to try and build a business at the same time where you can't go meet with someone. You can't, you know, everything's on Zoom. How has that been difficult on you this year?
Absolutely, Robert. You know, what was challenging is the fact that you lose a little bit of your selfness, you know, your confidence. You start doubting everything, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it is tough. And, you know, also you cannot explain. And, you know, you cannot explain that. And you cannot also, you find yourself that you cannot find excuses. Even if you do have them, once you start to find excuses, you are a loser. So it's important to basically, and you know, I did personally a lot of great things, is that I'm fortunate to have a great family. So I really took the time
to savor that, to really spend great time with them, and also take care of myself. Meditation. I walk in the park or in the country when I can. I exercise and entertain myself to get my head out of it. But it's so important that you are taking care of yourself and not becoming isolated with in a black room. That's not good. So to me, it's like open the window. The windows are take care of yourself, eat well, sleep well, drink well, enjoy your friend, get jokes, listen to jokes, tell jokes, all of these things. Yeah. It's live the life. But it's easier said than done. As you said earlier, it was some moment where you feel damaged, you feel hurt, you feel like you're losing a few things.
100%. I mean, the isolation in this whole entire year, and as an entrepreneur, and you know, you're battling those things. And I love what you said, because I do meditate each morning, I exercise, I do all those things, and it's still difficult. It's still hard. I am a social person, and as humans, we love to connect. You can go for walks right in the park, or you can, but like just those connections of business meetings and opportunities, it's been a little bit of a lost generation for entrepreneurs who I really hope now coming out of this are going to be super excited to get back out there, to be meeting with people and re-energize. And like you said, it's been about kind of survival this year, but are you excited for the near future and business in general or entrepreneurship?
You know, it's a very good question here, because before I answer that, I want to add also, Robert, that it's important to have very good friends and good mentors. And that is important. I mean, to me, what saved me a lot is that I have great friends and mentors. I call them and talk to them and all this. And when you don't make sense, they tell you, you know what I mean? And this is helping you to and guiding you to go and find other paths, other ways. So here's the good news, is that when we bought the company, okay, we bought the company, we thought it was X and it was Y, okay? So that took a long time to assess and refigure and rebrand and re-challenge. So having done that, this is the dirty job, by the way.
Yeah.
This is the dirty, it's not a fun job. It's like fixing. Fixing is okay. It's not great. Once we've done that, and this is what we've done, and when I to be more specific, is basic thing, saying that the brand was distributed in a food, drug, and mass. So nothing wrong with that, except that our price were too high for these channels. So exiting of that was painful. And reformulating the product, repackaging the product, all of this doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time. And you feel, you see the pain every day. Everybody's, you see it online, you hear, it's already on your eyes. And now, to answer your question, we are set. We have the platform. We have the ingredients, no pun intended. We have the whole things. The formula is there. And always say we are on the tarmac about to take off. You know what I mean? And that is great, because we know where we stand, what we stand for, and what we should do. So now it's all about to put the pieces together. Of course, let's hope there's no other pandemic or the crazy thing happening that is out of our control. You can think that way. But what is in our control today, it's wonderful. It's great. We know where we're going. I think we have the right people in place. And I think it's going to be a great time, a great time. And I see the light at the end of the tunnel here. And I think we're going to celebrate that.
Yeah, it's a great time. The light at the end of the tunnel. You've got your name back. And I have no doubt that we're going to see even more success from what has been an extraordinary career. And I wanted to thank you for coming on How Success Happens. And it's really been a pleasure speaking with you.
And thank you, Robert. And congratulations. I heard you said you're starting a new business. I'd like to hear one day, offline maybe. But let me tell you, I wish you great success. And thank you for having me.
Funny enough, the business is all about brand. We are creating. When I started hosting this show a couple of years ago, I noticed all these brands and companies were needing podcasts to start communicating these messages. That's why you said your wife was a communications. So we're working with a lot of brands and companies now to create their own podcasts, which It's amazing because if you're a company now, you could tell your own messages. Just like to get your whole story, you know, you could do a commercial, but to have 45 minutes with Frederick Fekkai and hear authentically his story, that's why I fell in love with podcasts. And I've always done businesses that I'm passionate about. So it's interesting. It's there's a lot of interest out there and a lot of brands, and it's a new world. And that's what, for me, like you, I've always followed kind of my passion.
Thank you. Well, that's great. And I wish you again all the best. I think you'll do that very well, and it will be a great success.
Excellent. Thank you, Frederick. Have a great day.
Thank you.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com. or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.